Well, good morning. It's good to be with you on this Lord's Day. It's always a joy to be with God's people in God's house on His day. And it's kind of giving a bit of my testimony is what I'm doing and talking about some of the work, the ministry that the Lord has given. And it's just a great privilege to serve Him. It's a great privilege to see the work that He's doing around the world in expanding and growing His kingdom. But I start with my testimony. I like the way that John Bunyan's often his autobiography. It's called Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. You know that comes from the verse there in 1 Timothy 1:15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. And just to get out of the way, I was born in 1978, so I'm not in my 30s. I'm actually in my 40s. I was born in 1978 in this world physically, but I was born spiritually dead to the things of God, living in this world really for myself and for my own name in that sense. Separated from Christ, you could say, Ephesians 2, right? Spiritually dead, having no hope in this world without God in this world in that sense. I was born in Stone Mountain, Georgia, so that's where I grew up. I am a Southerner by birth. And lived there until I was 18 years old. I grew up in a home that I would call a quasi-Christian home. You may know, okay, my name is John Miller, but you look at me and you go, how is your name John Miller? Well, this is how. my mother is from Vietnam, and there's my mom and dad when I was a little kid, and I have an older sister you can see there as well. My parents, in God's providence, met during the Vietnam War. My father was an officer in the U.S. Army, and my mother worked for the U.S. Army as a civilian, and my dad had a one-year tour of duty and was her boss for 1 year. They were into computer programming in the days when computers were the size of this building. And during that time, my father actually asked her to go out to dinner several times, and my mother said, no way, no how. but my father, thankfully, was persistent, otherwise I wouldn't be here today. And when he went back to the States, he started writing letters to her. And over the course of 2 years, they corresponded, and he then proposed in a letter to her, and she accepted and was flown over to the United States. They got married in Georgia and lived there ever since. We grew up then in a home where we went to church, attended a Southern Baptist church most of my growing up years, also a Christian Alliance church for a time. But we didn't really talk about the gospel in our home. We didn't read scripture together other than my father teaching us the Lord's Prayer. We would pray before meals. We would attend church, but we never really talked about the gospel in that sense. That's why I say it was a kind of a quasi-Christian home. I even had an experience in seventh grade where I was frightened about death. They have these things in Georgia called judgment houses at Halloween that churches put on, and they kind of walk you through scenes of the book of Revelation, so they say. And at the end, there's this big glowing throne, and they say, if you want to be saved, raise your hand. So I raised my hand. and then was later talking to the pastor of the church I was at, and so I was baptized, but I wasn't actually converted. The great emphasis in our home really was to make a name for yourself. And in our home, as you can imagine, with a Asian mother who really was a tiger mom in the best sense of the word, it was academics. Do well in school and do better than everyone else, especially because in one sense, you know, I didn't look like others in that sense. So there was a bit of the immigrant kind of mentality. We've got to work harder to get ahead in that way. But the whole focus then was just to do well in school so you can go to a good college, so you can get a good job, so you can make lots of money, so you can spend it on yourself, to live for yourself, to make a name for yourself. So I really was one who had a heart bent upon self, believing the world revolved around me. My desire was to follow the course of this world, but that wasn't God's plan. So it was really during my kind of eighth, ninth grade year, there was turmoil going on in our home, mostly between my sister and mother. There was also, I was doing very well in school and found it to be very empty. He's wondering then, what's the purpose of life? Family life seems to be difficult. You do well in school. What difference does that make? It seems to be all of vanity. And so all these kinds of just kind of dysfunctional things going on because of sin in our lives, in that sense, was God's preparation to bring the gospel in a clear way. After my ninth grade year, my father took me to go hear a man speak for a week, and it was during that week that the Spirit of God used the Word of God to open my eyes to see the reality that the problem is my sin, that I am a rebel against the Lord, that I am seeking myself, my own glory, instead of God's glory, that I was and am a fallen sinner. And so I was convicted of my sins in the early part of the week. Thankfully, that's not where I was left. I was also then shown the reality of what Christ did, what his work on the cross meant, how his death was for my sins, how he was raised to life so that I could be raised to new life in him. And the Spirit of God worked, converted me in a very radical way in that sense, just change of desires. For the first time in my life, I wanted to read the Bible. I wanted to understand. I wanted to know God, and I wanted to serve him. Even at that time of my conversion, I sensed a desire to serve him. I thought maybe that means being in ministry, but I had no idea what ministry was or anything like that that went with that. So after my conversion, I was in a Southern Baptist church for 3 years, grew in different ways, but also had some confusing aspects of theology. I say that was a period of time where the Lord used it to show me the importance of sound doctrine by exposing me to unsound doctrine and living out some of the implications of that. But then in 1997, that's when I went to Furman University, which I still think is the most beautiful campus of a college in the world, as you can see there. But Furman University in Greenville, South Carolina. And while there, that's when the Lord introduced me to sound doctrine in two different ways. One was there was a man maybe you've heard of named Matt Forman, who is now a pastor in Pennsylvania, but he was a senior at Furman University when I came as a freshman, and he actually also went to the same church I did back in Georgia because he was from the same place, but I didn't know him, but I was close friends with his sister, and his sister said to him, hey, my friend John's coming to Furman. Would you take him under your wing? So that second week I was at Furman, he invited me to a church called Grace Baptist Church. For some reason, Grace Baptist Church is a very common name for churches the Lord took me to. So Grace Baptist Church in Taylors, South Carolina, that's where Bob Self was the man who was pastoring at the time with Jamie Howell. I remember walking into the church for the church service for the first time, and this was the first time I'd ever heard an expository sermon. John chapter 13 was the morning. The evening was 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I remember distinctly, this is what I've been missing, to hear the Word of God clearly explained and applied. It was a church where there was such warmth of fellowship. People actually invited you over to their home for lunch. It's like, it's never happened to me before. And just seeing the gospel lived out in that way. At the same time, at the university, there was a university fellowship group. At the time, it was called Worldwide Discipleship Association. It eventually became what's known as Reformed University Fellowship. It was the Reformed group on campus. I didn't know that. But what they did, and I remember this distinctly as well, is on Monday nights, they would invite a different Reformed pastor to come and preach. And so that first semester, it was going through the Sermon on the Mount. So we got to hear all the Reformed pastors in Greenville. And a man named Steve Martin, whose daughter was at Furman at the time as well. And so it was through all of that time that the Lord started to reveal to me sound doctrine, coming to the doctrines of grace, wrestling through those things, and being involved then in that church in that way. While there, Bob Self had a group of men. He called it Spurgeon's Club. It was for young men or old men who were questioning, am I called to the ministry? And he kind of set out a course of 2 years of study where we had to memorize the catechism, which I'd never heard of before. It's like, is that Catholic? And we had articles to read. We'd talk about different topics each month. We were given cassette tapes. Anyone know what those are? You know, cassette tapes, those little square things that have sound come out. Cassette tapes we would listen to from men like Martin Lloyd-Jones, Preachers and Preaching, other men that we would listen to. And to understand what's a call to the ministry, what's the work of the ministry, what is the work of missions, what's the work of church planting, how do we think about covenant theology. And it was a two-year course of studying. And through that, the Lord really opened my eyes. That's what the ministry is. And if that's what it is, whew, that's a lot. But the Lord kept putting a desire in my heart for that work. I actually went through that course of study twice through the 4 years of college at university in that way. And during that time then, as well, was involved in the church. I'm trying to remember what I have next. I was involved in the church and in the youth group and helping in different ways. And when I graduated from college, I studied computer science, trying to follow in my parents' footsteps. I graduated in 2001, and I could not find a job in Greenville doing computer programming for two reasons. One, they had just laid the fiber optic line across the ocean to India. And guess where all the computer programming jobs went that were cheaper? To India. So that was one reason. The second reason was I sensed a strong call to the ministry and was not wanting to be in computer programming for a long time. And so when employers asked what my long-term plans were, I was honest. Well, I'd like to work for a few years and then go into the ministry. So many didn't want to hire me after that. But I wanted to stay in Greenville because I wanted to stay with the church, with these brothers, these elders who were shepherding me, who knew me. And so one of the elders in the church was wanting to build a 1,400-square-foot addition on his home for his mother-in-law to live in. And he asked me, do you want to work with one other man and do it? It's like, well, okay. The other man is the one who knew what he was doing, and I was his gopher. So here's a picture from that. You can see kind of the addition as we were working on that. That was in 2001. And I did that for 6 months working for him. And at the end of that time, this same elder in the church had a computer consulting firm. And guess what? He hired me to be a consultant to work for him. So I was able to do that for a couple of years and continuing in the church, having opportunities to serve in different ways. Let me see what I have. We went on mission trips. This was a mission trip down to Mexico, which I think some people from this church actually went. So that would probably be my first contact with this church. And that was, I think, 2002, maybe, something like that. Tad? Crisp? Yes, that's when I think I met some of Tad's family. And so the providence of God in all sorts of interesting ways. This is 2002. Okay, so we went to Mexico, we did different things like that. I started to have a real heart for missions. We would also do evangelistic things in around Greenville. And this is where I'm starting to get to know, I don't know if you have a pointer, but in red, that was my future wife. We're serving in the church together. She grew up in the church in Greenville. That's Elizabeth. And so it was just through serving together as friends that we started to get to know one another through these different activities in the church in that way. while I was working then, after a couple of years, the elders were saying to me, we think you should go to seminary. And I looked at several seminaries, but 10 minutes from the church was Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Now, they weren't in this nice building at the time. They were in an older, moldy building, but this is where they are now. And, you know, I was a Baptist, but this is a good Presbyterian school, and the reason more than anything else I decided to go there is because it was in the same town as the church that knew me, with the elders that knew me, and I could continue to serve in the church and put into practice right away the things that I'm learning in seminary, which I think is a very important thing. And so I was there in the seminary. My first year at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary, I was the only Baptist, and that's when I got my nickname, John the Baptist, from all of my professors in that way. They were seeking to make me Presbyterian, but I said to them, look, I'll be Presbyterian if you can convince me from the Word of God. And they couldn't, though they thought they could. And during that time, one of the things I did pray for was that the Lord would bring to me another brother who was a Baptist, so I could walk through that together with him. And also during that time, that's when the Lord provided Elizabeth as my wife. So after my first year of seminary, we got married there in the church in Taylor's. That's my parents and her parents. Her parents are still members of the church there at Grace Baptist Church in Taylor's. So in 2004, that's when we were married. And in 2004 as well is when the Lord brought this man, Chris Powell, to Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. He is from Toronto, Canada. His father, Lee Powell, was converted by Lloyd Jones in England and then married a Canadian woman and went over to Toronto and planted what's Covenant Baptist Church. And Chris is now the pastor there at Covenant Baptist Church back in Toronto. But he and his wife, Val, they came down. We became fast friends as the only Baptists in a Presbyterian school. I just really enjoyed that friendship together, and it has become one of those wonderful lifelong friendships. We still talk, we still pray for one another, and thankful for the ministry that the Lord has him doing there in Toronto. During that time as well, we were desirous of seeing God work. We wanted to put into practice the things that we were learning. The association of churches we were a part of had what they called a school of church planting that he and I went to. At Steve Martin's church down in Georgia, and we came back kind of fired up, saying, what can we do? We're in seminary. We started praying. There was a family that was coming down to the church in Greenville from Asheville, North Carolina. We started talking to them about the possibility of a church plant and praying with them. We went to the elders and asked, could we start a Bible study and maybe lay some of the groundwork to see if the Lord would be pleased to plant a church up in Asheville. So Chris and I worked on that for the next 3 years, and over time, the Lord did plant a church there in Asheville, North Carolina, after that time. So that was a great encouragement to us. That was part of my desires to see churches planted, was being involved in that. And also, the church in Greenville, when I was in college, was involved in planting a church in Commerce, Georgia, where the man Murray Brett is the pastor. And we would go down and help with evangelism and different things. So a desire to see the glory of Christ's name spread through church planting. While I was in seminary, after my first year, the seminary put out an email and said that there are scholarships for any students, or for 5 students, that would like to go to the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference. The Banner of Truth, as you may know, is a publishing company that publishes a lot of good Puritan books. And no one was taking the scholarship, so I said, I'll take one. So I went up to the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference by myself. None of my fellow classmates went at that time. And while I was there, I had a few moments at a snack table after a session speaking with that brother that you can see, David Campbell. And David Campbell was, at the time, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. So we had a conversation and got to know each other through that. And the next summer, he called my elders in Greenville and asked if I could come and do a summer internship with them. And that would have been in 2005. So I was an intern in their church for that summer. Jumping ahead now, one of my desires as well, while I was in seminary, was wrestling with, is the Lord calling us to do mission work? I had desires to go to Vietnam because that's where my mother was from, and that's also where we still have family, still to this day. Some of my mother's family, they live there. But I was committed to not going unless there was another man to go with me. As I was reading through Scripture, I always saw 2 by 2 is the pattern. Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2. Paul went with Barnabas. And at the time, I didn't know of anyone that was wanting or willing to go to Vietnam with me in that sense. But we had learned of some Reformed Baptist missionaries in China. And so in 2006, I went and visited some of the work that was being done there. When we finished seminary in 2007, that's when my wife and I, and at that time our daughter, our firstborn Catherine, you can see in the stroller, and I was carrying her. She was 6 months old, and we spent about 3 weeks there in China trying to discern, is the Lord calling us to that work? In God's providence, I had taken Chinese in college, so it wasn't something that seemed impossible to learn for me, but that wasn't true for my wife. And so after we came back and we prayed and talked about it for about a year, it became clear that this was not what the Lord was calling us to do at this time. So the church up in Carlisle had remembered our time as an intern for the summer, and they called us to come back up and asked if we could spend 3 years in what they called a pastoral internship, during which time I became an elder in the church, and there were kind of three main things that I was tasked to do with in those 3 years from 2007 to 2010. The first was really to do evangelistic work to reach out to the college campus, which was Dickinson College. It's about 3,000 students, only a couple miles from the church. And so they helped us to rent this house. It's a house built in the late 1800s. Large, massive house. We kind of felt like it was like the White House. Like we lived on the second floor, and the first floor was like the public floor. And we would have students in all the time in that sense, trying to do Bible studies, evangelism with them, reaching out in that way. Also trying to stir up our young people for missions, and so was able to take groups of high school, college students up to Toronto, where my friend Chris Powell was pastoring, and we would do some mission work with them there. And then also had a desire to see more churches planted, and so was involved in laying the groundwork for a church plant about 30 minutes away. It's called Grace Reformed Baptist Church now. Craig Regal is the pastor of that church now. So that was in those 3 years. Now we had wrestled with, is the Lord calling us to mission work, and come to the place of saying, not foreign missions at this time. And so as the 3 years were coming towards an end, that's when we heard about a work in Clarksville, Tennessee, that Grace Baptist Church of Hartsville was heading up. And at the time in 2010, as some of you will remember, they were meeting in an Episcopal church downtown. This wonderful story of how in 1999 or something like that, there was a tornado that came through downtown Clarksville. And thankfully, it was like 4 a.m, so people were not in the town, downtown area. They weren't killed, but buildings were destroyed. This Episcopal church had their roof taken off. Well, the Roman Catholic Church down the street said, you can use our building, our fellowship hall building, until yours gets fixed. And then the Episcopal Church kind of made a vow to God, if any group of Christians ever needs a place to meet, we'll let them use it for free. And so when Brother Donnie, Brother Carol, they sent letters, I think, to 40 different churches in Clarksville about, is there a place to meet? This is the one church that answered and said, you can meet in our fellowship hall. And so they were meeting there. There's Maggie. And you can see Jane. And so that was part of our visit down in 2010, I think it was, the early part of 2010. The church here then called me to go and to head up that work, and we moved there in July of 2010. The next year, thankfully to the encouragement from Chris Davis to say, go ask that church again. I don't know if you remember that. We had talked to the Seventh-day Adventist church, and I was kind of discouraged because they said, no, we won't do that. And Chris was riding with me in town one day, and he was just like, ask again. Just ask again. Persistence. And the Lord honored that, and the church there said, okay, you can rent, but you can't use our sanctuary. You can use our storage area. So you can see this kind of separator. So we're in the back in this storage area surrounded by all their really junk. But they had seats set up, and that's where we would have our Sunday services. And that was the group around 2011. One of the challenges of the church plant in Clarksville is it is the military town, as you know, And so the turnover was constant and consistent. That's the one consistent thing, change. I really say in the 7 years I was there, it was really like four different congregations. You had a few people of continuity, but really of the main, it was like four different congregations. But what did we do? We would preach and pray, evangelize, and the Lord was faithful to build and plant a church. You can see some of the different things that was preaching, going to festivals and witnessing. We would do backyard Bible clubs in the projects. We would have times of discipleship at a coffee shop. People would come to faith and be baptized, added to the church in that way. And in God's kindness, then in 2014, so 4 years, we had a constituting service. And there you can see brothers you know, Brother Carol, Brother Chris, Brother Donnie. Sam Waldron was one of the speakers. My friend Chris Powell came down from Toronto as well to be one of the speakers at our constituting service. And we constituted with 20 members on May 18th of 2014. God in his grace planted a church that's still there to this day. Now, part of the work there was always from the beginning to have a concern as a church, not just for Clarksville, but to encourage the church in thinking about God's kingdom around the world. And so we would seek to do that through praying for missionaries and mission work, and also going on short-term mission trips. And here's a few pictures from some of those. One top in the middle there, that's Fred Malone, another brother. We had gone down to Juarez, Mexico, to help with a work that Santa Teresa Baptist Church in Santa Teresa, New Mexico, was planting a church there in Juarez. So we went for a short-term trip to encourage them. In 2013, there was a brother from the church in Greenville named Mark Hatfield who just finished seminary, and he came to be an intern. And he was an intern with me. And during that time, while he was doing the internship in Clarksville, we heard about a need in Beijing, China, for a pastor of an international church. And so he went and visited and then was actually called to be the pastor of that international church. Well, a couple years later, he knew of my desires for China still and just a heart for Asia. He asked me to come for a month and do pulpit supply for him in Beijing. So in 2015, that's kind of the picture, the tall picture. That's a Beijing Baptist Church. Fascinating. It's an international church. I think there were 32 different nationalities in the church there in Beijing, and so my wife was able to go with me. 2014 as well, was able to go with a man named Nick Kinnicott to Nigeria, and there in Nigeria to help train some pastors. And then in 2015, while I was in Beijing, I also took some time to go down to Vietnam and to meet with this man, Tan Don, who actually translated the 1689 Confession into Vietnamese and is seeking to do some work there in the very city that my mother is from, Saigon. And so those were some of the things that we were encouraging our church with in short-term mission work. The Lord also, in his kindness, was willing to give us an intern as well. At different times, we would sometimes have men from seminaries come for a short time. And then there was a brother I'd gotten to know named Nathan White, and he was graduating from seminary. God had closed certain doors. He thought he was going to go to a church in Texas. That door was closed. He thought he was going to go to a church in California. That door was closed. We were talking on the phone about this. And then I asked him, would you consider coming to Clarksville? and so we prayed, and I asked sister churches if they could help us to support him financially for a year. This church was one of those churches. You all helped us to be able to support him. And so in 2015, he came and was an intern with us. About 2 years earlier, I know I'm jumping around a bit, but 2 years earlier, I had a call from a man in Chattanooga who was a professor at Covenant College, and he was just saying how he'd love to have a Reformed Baptist church planted there in Chattanooga area, Lookout Mountain area. And I would go home to see my parents sometimes from Tennessee, and every time I would pass through Chattanooga, we would stop at a Cracker Barrel and meet together just to talk and pray, that the Lord might do a work, that he might raise up someone. Well, when Nathan White came, we started to pray, could this man be the one? He had graduated from Covenant College. His family was an hour south in North Georgia. There were all sorts of possibilities. So we were praying these things when the man who was at Covenant College called me one day and said, I've been looking around at church buildings, and I found this beautiful church building that's vacant. And then he began to inquire about it and learned that it had been a Baptist church for many decades, but had folded. And the Presbyterian Church on top of Lookout Mountain Presbyterian Church, a very large PCA church, was given the building. And the men who had charge over the building were praying that the Lord would bring a Baptist church again. Really? So, when they heard that there was someone who was interested in planting a church there, they wanted to meet with us. We drove and we met with them, and they said, we've been praying for you. You're the answer to our prayers. And in fact, one man took out his wallet and said, here's $100. Go open a bank account here so you can start a church plant. And in fact, when you plant the church, we'll give you the building. And that's exactly what's happened. So we had the man, we had a building. This is just clearly the hand of Christ, the providence of the Lord. And in 2016 then, a two-year-old constituted church, we sent Nathan White to plant the church on Lookout Mountain. And certainly there are challenges at different times, as you can imagine, in any kind of church plant work, but the Lord has been faithful. The first worship service started in August 20th of 2016. And to kind of jump forward, it was constituted as a church in 2019. So 3 years later, they constituted. There's their covenanting ceremony, beautiful church building there. It constituted with 20 members. But now they have over 120 people coming. They just called their second full-time pastor. The Lord has blessed beyond our imaginations. So, and there is where Nathan White's being ordained as the pastor, June 23rd, 2019. And there's all the families that are the founding members of Christ Reformed Baptist Church there on top of Lookout Mountain, a mile from Covenant College. Now to tell you a little bit, going back to 2014 at the constituting service of Covenant Baptist Church in Clarksville, Tennessee, Sam Waldron was one of the speakers at that. And at the end of that service, Sam Waldron came in his Sam Waldron voice, if you know that voice, and he said, John, we're about to change the name of our seminary from Midwest Theological Center Studies or something like that to Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary. The name of your church is Covenant Baptist Church. You must serve on the board of our seminary. And I said, I'll pray about that. And officially beginning in 2015, I started to serve on the board of Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary with Sam Waldron at that time. At the same time, in 2016, there was a brother named Guillermo Gomez, who's a pastor of Reformed Baptist Church, Sovereign Grace Baptist Church in Bogota, Colombia. And he contacted Sam Waldron and said, we have men that we would like to train, but we need help. Would you help us develop a program and send teachers to come down and to train our men for the ministry? And so began this program, 14 classes, kind of a Master of the Arts, where we would send teachers down every 3 months to teach a different class so that students could be done in 3.5 years. And so I was asked to go and to teach a class on expository preaching in Colombia in August of 2016. Not great pictures, but there's my translator, a man named Eduardo Ferguson, and teaching a group of about 50 men there in Colombia. And there's the group of men, or most of them. And so that was 2016, starting to be involved then in that work. At the end of 2016, The man David Campbell, that was back in the church in Grace Baptist Church in Carlisle, he's from Scotland and had pastored for years at Geneva Road Baptist Church in Darlington, England. But he was called back to England. The Lord called him back to what's North Preston, England, and so he left the church there. And so the elders of the church in Carlisle approached me and asked if I would consider coming back to Carlisle to be their pastor there. We wrestled with that. Certainly that wasn't what we were thinking or planning. We loved the church in Clarksville, but the Lord made it clear and plain that this was what he was calling us to do. So in 2017, June 26, 2017 was my last Sunday there, and that was the Sunday in which we ordained Ron Miller, who had been a fellow pastor with Sam Waldron in his church in Owensboro. He came down. We had been talking even before that about him moving to come and be a fellow elder with me in God's providence. But the way that it worked out, we ordained him as a pastor of the church there in Clarksville my last Sunday there. And he's still there, doing well, and appreciates any prayers you have for him. Encouragement, I guess this was 2021. You know, one of the wrestlings of a church is having a church building, as you know. And in 2021, the church plant in Clarksville, Covenant Baptist Church, bought their own building. That's before it was renovated. It's now been renovated. And so in February of 2021, was able to go down and to preach a service, giving thanks to the Lord for his provision of a church building there in Clarksville. It's about maybe 2 miles from Fort Campbell. So back then in 2017, going back, called back up to Grace Baptist Church, and there you can see kind of the sanctuary, the building, and that kind of thing. But 6 months after I arrived, we called another brother who graduated from seminary at the time, Simon O'Manny, who is from Ireland, but came to the States to do seminary studies. One of the things that we also restarted in the church was an internship program that, as I had been an intern in the summer, that kind of program had gone to the wayside for a while, but we started it up again. And so seminary students, particularly those in Presbyterian schools that are Baptists, we seek them out, and we invite them to come. And this is a brother, Ken Kiambadi, who's from Kenya and was studying at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary. And so we started that program. Just a little bit about our public meetings. We have Sunday school, 9:45. Then at 11 a.m. is our morning worship service. And then we have an evening worship service at 6 p.m. During the school year, we'll have a youth group at 7:30 p.m. So it's a full Lord's Day. And then we have prayer meeting at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. Of course, we have other things like Bible studies that go on, fellowship times, hymn sings, things that happen, but this is our kind of regular weekly schedule in that way. Here's the elders currently of the church. So there's 8 of us. 2 of us are full-time, myself and Pastor Simon, and then these other brothers are elders in the church as well. Sadly, in one sense, but rightly so, our brother Tom Richwine, he has decided that this is his last year. He is retiring as an elder. He's served as an elder for over 30 years in the church, and we're thankful for his service, how the Lord has used him in our midst. And then we have 9 deacons. So here are our deacons, and again, one brother, Greg Hostler, there in that top row in the middle at the end of this year, he's also retiring from service after many, many years of faithful service in the church, which we praise the Lord for. He's the one who gives the gifts of elders and deacons to a church, and he has been very kind to us in that way. Here's our staff. That's my secretary, Renee. We have Brother Dennis Fry, who's a visitation assistant. Our church is 71 years old. It was founded in 1951, and we have many older members in their 80s and 90s, and our brother Dennis helps us as pastors by visiting many of our older saints frequently. We visit them as well, of course, but he's able to do so on a much more frequent basis and let us know how they're doing. We've also started kind of like I had when I finished seminary. I came up for a longer pastoral internship. So we've restarted that pastoral internship program for men who finished seminary. And so this is a brother, Ian Turner, who's our current pastoral assistant or pastoral intern. He's actually just finishing up his PhD from Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, doing work in the Old Testament, specifically on the book of Hosea. So he's with us. This is now his second year. He just started his second year with us in August. And one prayer request we would have is discernment for the future of his ministry, what the Lord's calling him to. We are actually considering calling him to be another full-time pastor with us. But that's something that we're considering. We don't know if that's what the Lord would have yet, but appreciate your prayers concerning that. We also, just last year, when I came up in 2017, the church had a family conference, which really kind of served Reformed Baptists in the Northeast for 40-plus years, but they stopped it in 2016. But just last year, we began again, and so then again, we're going to have our second one, this restarted kind of smaller version of it. It's just a Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday. Right there in Carlisle, there's a conference center. So we don't ourselves have to go far, but others who are from far away can stay at that camp. We can stay in our homes, but we can be together for this conference. So we're encouraged by that work. Going back, while I was in Clarksville, one of the things I did was further study. I did a Master's of Theology in Old Testament at Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary while working through the church plant, and did it over many years. Took about 6 years, just kind of taking it slow. And in 2018 is when I graduated from there, and that's when Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary asked if I could begin teaching some courses for them. I'm able to do it right there in Carlisle because it's an online format, and so I teach two courses for the seminary, Evangelism and Missions, and then Introduction to the Old Testament. And so that's some of the work that I'm involved in with them. I also have continued to serve on the board of directors of the seminary, and in the providence of God, for the last few years, I've been the chairman of the board. And here's our last meeting this past June with the members of the board of directors and some of the administrative staff. The Lord has done a great work through the seminary. When I began serving as on the board of directors, I think we had about 15 to 20 students. And today, we have 320. In 20 different countries. Because it's an online school, we have students all over the world in that sense. We try to emphasize the importance of the local church and the importance of pastors mentoring men. So that's a strong component of what we do. And we as a seminary are coming alongside of the church to help with the teaching of the academic subjects in that way, but recognizing that most important is that they are being trained and mentored by their own pastors. And so we seek to come alongside of even the mentors and encourage them, equip them if they need assistance in any of those ways. Connected with that, I've also been involved in their international work. I told you we started in Colombia. So in 2018, I went again to teach a course on the doctrine of Christ there in Colombia. And at the same time, there were brothers in Ecuador. I won't tell the whole story, but in 2012, a group of about five different men, young men, who were pastors, came to the doctrines of grace. And then through that, their churches were reformed. And then they formed an association of Reformed Baptist churches. And then they met Guillermo Gomez, heard about the program that's going on in Colombia, and asked if CBTS could do the same thing in Ecuador. So we did. We started the work in Ecuador as well. And so here I went to Ecuador in 2019. To teach the course there. Now, the brother I'm sitting next to in the blue shirt, his name is Jorge Alfredo Rodriguez Vega. But he is a highly energetic man, has a desire to see the gospel go and for churches to come to sound doctrine all over Latin America. And he has made contacts, and through him, we have now helped to start seminaries in multiple countries in Latin America. So there's the one in Bogota, and there's the one in Ecuador, and our desire is that each of these will one day become their own self-sustaining, self-supported seminaries with their own indigenous teachers. We're just coming to help fill the gap until the Lord can raise that up. So we have them kind of form their own administrative work. We will send teachers for now, and we're hoping that through this work, men will be raised up. So we also are in Cuba and in Brazil. So there's actually two in Colombia, one in Ecuador, Cuba, Brazil, and then most recently we started one in Mexico. In 2021, I would have gone in 2020, but you know why I didn't. But in 2021 was the graduating class, the first graduating class in Ecuador. So that was the graduation, did that down there for them. And at the same time started the next round of classes and taught a modular course for them down in Ecuador. Now to jump ahead a bit, just about some of these recent kinds of trips this year, have had the opportunity this year to go back to Ecuador and to Mexico. In Ecuador, when I was there for the initial class in 2021, was talking with Jorge, and he was saying how, you know, the five churches that are there, thankful now that they have some graduates, and they're desiring to do more church planting work, to see the Lord plant more churches in their own country. And so we began talking about that, praying about that. He lives in a city that's not too far from the capital city, Quito, and there's no really solid church there in Quito. And so we were praying about the Lord raising up a man and planting a church in Quito. So he began that work. That would have been kind of September, October of 2021. Then he was saying, well, why don't you come and do a conference for us on church planting? So this past July, that's what I went down to do. You can see the brother Jorge's in Santo Domingo, and Quito is the capital city. So I took my lovely bride, Elizabeth, and we went down to Quito together to visit the Mission Bautista Reformada in Quito, the church plant there in Quito. Now, there were a lot of travel issues. I think three flights that were delayed or canceled. We got a delayed flight, missed our connection, and then the next day when we got on the one that was our connection, that flight got canceled, and then we got on another flight, it was delayed. So we missed actually meeting with the church plant itself, but we did, and there is the church plant. It's grown just in this last year. Very thankful for that. Here's the pastor, Roberto, and his lovely wife, my wife Elizabeth and Jorge. We were able to spend some time encouraging this brother in fellowship with him and the work that he's doing. And you notice what it says on the wall. And here he is in his study. Jorge, in a desire to bring solid theology, has also begun a publishing house called Confessional Baptist Legacy. And if you see on the shelf there, a lot of those books, if you see on the bottom, you can't see very well, there's the LBC. Most of those books are books that have been published in the last 2 years, where he's translated good Reformed works for Latin America. And there's Elizabeth and I, we went to the equator, standing on either side of the world. And apparently on the equator, you could take an egg and it should balance on a nail. And she was trying to do that. I couldn't do it. She couldn't do it. But Jorge did it. It was a good time together there in Ecuador. Pulled. Which should I be, in the north or the southern hemisphere? I'm not sure. And there's Quito at night. A very large city in that way. A lot of Roman Catholicism, of course. From Quito, we then took a flight down to the city of Cuenca, and there's a small church of 12 members without a pastor, so we went to visit with them and just to preach and encourage them. Was able to spend some time, probably one of the most beautiful cities in Ecuador, with the old Spanish colonial-style buildings. Of course, it's known as the City of Churches. It probably has more church buildings than any other city in Ecuador. mostly, of course, Roman Catholic church buildings. There we are, it's Elizabeth, preaching at the church with Jorge translating for me. The brother in the brown coat is kind of the main leader in the church. He's not an elder, but he is leading, and they're praying that the Lord would provide a pastor for them. And from there, then we drove down to the, you could say, the New York City of Ecuador. Quito is like the Washington, D.C., the capital. Guayaquil is the New York City, right there on the coast. And so we drove down, and that's where we had the conference. You can see some of the scenery on the way. We finally get to the city. It is the most populous city in the country. And there was the conference for Christ and His church, the conception, formation, and birth of a local church, so about church planting. And that's the Association of Reformed Baptist Churches of Ecuador. And there's where the five churches of the association are located. Santo Domingo, kind of up north, and then in the middle, a place called Patricia Pilar, then down on the coast, a place called Santa Elena and La Libertad. But there are these other church plants, one in Quito, and in Guayaquil, there are actually three church plants. So here's the conference. We had about 200 attendees from all over the country and encouraging church planting. Here's again the pastors of the association there. A brother also, Taylor Walls, who's a missionary sent out from Jeffrey Johnson's church in Arkansas, but has just become an elder in the church with Jorge Rodriguez in Santo Domingo. Here's some of the pastors' wives. On Sunday, I was able to preach at the three different church plants. So that was an encouragement to see. They were thankful to just have gotten this building. Still some renovation work to be done, but it was a wonderful thing. Guayaquil is a very expensive place to hold, have real estate, you can imagine, in a place kind of like New York. So it was a joy to worship with them in that church plant. And then in the evening, a combination of the two other church plants, we had a joint service together, was able to preach and encourage them. When I was in Bogota teaching back in 2018, two brothers from Mexico flew down to Bogota to take the class. And we were sitting at a table at lunch or dinner, and they said, "Can we do this in Mexico? We have brothers who couldn't fly and go like we have to take these classes. Could CBTS do this in Mexico?" So I began talking and praying with them about those possibilities. And then this year we had the first course and started. The Confessional Baptist Seminary of Mexico has begun. And so Jorge came as my translator. These are the two brothers on either end. This is back in 2018. They're the ones who were from Mexico saying, "Can we do this?" And so in 2021, I went and did a conference for them to get to know them and the church. And so then this year we were able to begin. And there's the church building. It's in a city called Torreon. And we began on a Monday night. Pastor Francisco Orozco, who's a Reformed Baptist pastor in Mexico, came and was my translator for part of the time as well. And there's kind of the beginnings of the seminary in that way, and teaching the class for the week. In God's providence, there are two other men in Mexico who are CBTS students, online students. And in their church, they were having some issues, and they called Sam Waldron about it. And Sam, who's not a Spanish speaker, put them in touch with Jorge. And so Jorge has been helping them. They kind of were churches that had come to Reformed theology through Paul Washer. And then what happened, they kind of had a more of a Presbyterian church government. The pastor was preaching, and it was being broadcast through YouTube, and different cities around the country, groups of people were hearing the preaching, and they would form and just become like a satellite campus. So it became a kind of a multi-site church, the main church being in Guadalajara. But that's not a biblical model, I would argue. And so they started to have some issues and problems. Well, thankfully, the Lord has used Jorge to help them come to a more sound understanding of ecclesiology, and these eight different locations have now become eight different churches. And while we were there, they didn't know about the Reformed Baptist Church in Torreon, so we were able to introduce them to that church. And now there's a larger group of churches, and they're trying to work together. I was able to go with them to visit a couple of their churches. This is more in Torreon. Just some of the things there in Torreon. There's the whole group of students. But then we drove, you can see, from Torreon over to Saltillo, which is where one of the churches was located. They were without a pastor, but we were going with a brother from the church in Guadalajara who was going to be called that very meeting to become their pastor. So here we are in Saltillo meeting with a group of about 30 believers. And this was a fascinating thing. One of the leaders in that church is also, he knows English, he was taking one of my classes at that moment. He says, "I never thought I'd see you in person. I see you on the screen all the time." So that was really neat to meet a brother named Jose there in Saltillo. And so this brother, Hector Bustamante, he's the pastor in Guadalajara. This brother, Fernando, who's also a pastor in Guadalajara, has now been called to become the pastor of the church in Saltillo. And here we are having fellowship together with them. And there's the group, the church there. A little bit away is Monterey, so we also went to visit with them. It's a group of about 12 believers. They also are without a pastor. And Fernando is going to help them until the Lord raises up a pastor as well. So it's just exciting to see the Lord's at work. He's building his church all over the world. And there's Fernando the next day in Guadalajara on Sunday being set aside, commissioned, sent to go to the church in Saltillo. I preached at the church in Torreon, had a couple of wonderful translators, and that was a sweet time. The last part of my trip there, I went to Mexico City to see a church. Also, that's part of that group of eight churches. Mexico City is huge, 25 million people. But a church of 200 that don't have a pastor right now, but praying that the Lord would raise them up, was able to spend time with this wonderful family, a man who was kind of the leader of the church there. They took me around Mexico City to see. And there's a picture of their church. And that's the eight churches in Mexico now. One other trip, and here I'm going to be quick. September 9th to 24th, I was able to go to Kenya. A little bit about the work in Kenya. Went to Nairobi. When I arrived right away, one of the pastors, Murungi, after long travel, he asked, "Are you tired?" I was like, "A little bit." He's like, "Well, let's go do evangelism." "Okay." So we did. Just north of Nairobi, they're planting a church. There are 20 people that they're planting a church. They don't have a pastor yet, but the church was constituting the next day. So we were out in the marketplace. Murungi was preaching in Kiswahili. I can understand, you know, words like Jesus and those kind of Bible words. But he preached from 1 Timothy 1:15. And three people from that came to the constituting service the next day. And there's where they were having the constituting service, just down the street. This is Trinity Baptist Church in Nairobi. A little story about this work, if I can. And that's kind of the quarters that you stay in, and that's where their pastor's college meets. I preached there on Sunday. Now, thankfully, English is one of their official languages, and they preach in English, not in Swahili, and so was able to interact with everyone without translation. After their service, they always have lunch with the visitors, so this is tea and lunch with the visitors that came that week. Again, the Lord's doing amazing work. The lady in red there, she had just recently come to understand the doctrines of grace and was desirous of finding a church that taught these things in Nairobi and thought there was no way there could possibly be one, and then found Trinity Baptist Church. Another man, a brother, was that way as well. couple of university students came. So I preached a couple of times on that Sunday. Marungi took me to a museum the next day, the National History Museum of Kenya, so I could learn a little bit more about the country. And his son Gaius really liked the snakes. Marungi said he would never hold one, and Gaius said he wanted me to hold one before he did, so I did. But here were the students. I was there for the purpose was to help teach students in the Trinity Pastors College. I taught a course on the doctrine of salvation for them, seven students that they had and some auditors as well. The Lord's doing some great work. They come, some of them are there in Nairobi. Some are in the very north part, very desert region. Some on the coast with a Muslim background. But wonderful sisters who cooked meals for us. Also, we did a conference on Christian education on the Saturday. You kind of teach Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, have a weekend, and then teach again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday for the class for the Pastor's College, but the conference was on the Saturday between. And Keith Underhill, he is the one who was a missionary that planted the church. He was sent from Jeff Thomas's church in Aberystwyth, Wales, back in 1975. Served there until 2018. And from the work that he did, faithful laboring for decades, there's over 40 Reformed Baptist churches in Kenya. Started with zero. And through the years, the Lord's done this amazing work. Again, just some of the pictures. This was the Sunday. Oh, and there, some of the singing, wonderful singing in the church. That's the only founding members of the church that's still left in the church. I think they started with 10 people back in 1975. John and Ruth are their names. My second Sunday there, we actually had students from China who were there for business school. And one of the brothers, a Christian, who had been to the Metropolitan Tabernacle in England, and through them had heard about this church. So he came and he brought three unconverted friends. So even in Kenya, I had an opportunity to talk to people from China. Isn't it amazing how the Lord works? And so it was a wonderful time. This brother, Abdi, he's from Somalia. And he is involved with MRF, Middle East Reform Fellowship. And what they do, what he does, is a daily radio broadcast into Somalia because it's illegal to evangelize or anything. So he lives, is it Eritrea, I think, that's right next to Somalia? No, Ethiopia. He lives in Ethiopia, but he broadcasts radio programs into Somalia, which is where he's from. A wonderful testimony and story. Just pictures of food. It's lovely food. We also had some other sessions in the evenings. There's a picture of the students. One other wonderful providence, just briefly. I flew from Kenya or to Dubai on my way home. And in Dubai, I got to meet with a couple of pastors because I had a 24-hour layover. On my way there, I went through Dubai, but I didn't have a layover. So I got to meet with this brother, who's the pastor of Grace Reformed Baptist Church in Dubai, who was sent from a church in the Philippines to go and plant a church in Dubai. So that's the only 1689 confessional church in Dubai, and so got to meet with him. One of the brothers from the church in Nairobi is a pilot with United Arab Emirates, and so he lives in Dubai now, and he goes to that church. And so I was able to spend some time with them. There's their church, Grace Reformed Baptist Church of Dubai, and they took me around in that very opulent city, place that needs the gospel still. Very international city. People from all over the world live there. But also had the opportunity to go to the Evangelical Christian Church of Dubai, which was founded by a missionary sent from the church in Carlisle, a man named Leon Blosser, who was sent to Dubai, to the Middle East, back in the 1960s. And this church was founded in 1972. He was one of the founding members. And now it's a very large church in that sense. It's an international church. John Fulmer is the pastor. I got to meet with him for a little bit of time. He had just published this book for their 50th anniversary from every nation, 50 years of God's faithfulness. And inside of it, there's a picture of Leon Blosser, who is currently still a member of our church. He's in his late 80s. I have lunch with him every so often just to hear stories of his time. But him and his wife, Margaret, and their four children, who are also the two girls are in our church in Carlisle as well. I was able to spend some time with his elders. These were the elders and interns at the church there in Dubai. Again, the Lord's at work all over the world. And we've been very encouraged. This is just one last picture. When I got back from the trip in Kenya, we've gotten to know a brother in near Pittsburgh, a town called Denora. Amazing story. He was a drug dealer, went to prison, and for 6 years for being involved in a murder. He didn't actually commit the murder, but was with those who did. While he was in prison, he was converted. And sensed a call to ministry, got out, went to Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Pittsburgh, but was a Baptist. And now he's gone back to the very town that he was a drug dealer in, and he's planting a church. Where there's no gospel witness. His is the only gospel witness. So our church, we're about 3.5 hours away. We're trying to help him. I was there to help preach that Sunday and to see the work, spend some time with him that Sunday. And last picture of all, my family. So here's my wife, Elizabeth, next to me. Catherine, who grew up, is growing up. She's 15 now. Kristen, who's 12 in the pink. Nathan's in front of me. He's 9. And then Samuel, who's 6. I can appreciate your prayers for us as we seek to continue to serve the Lord wherever and however he calls and leads us. What a God we serve. My story is just one drop in the story of what God is doing. Just like your life is one drop, but he's doing so many wonderful things. Amen.